What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Spence has got our wheels turning.
Yes,
during
he
the
does.
Break, we've been naming the all-time Titans team if we were going to do a starting lineup.
Yeah, since 99.
Yeah, since they became the Titans. 99. But our poll question at 102.5, the game on Twitter. How many regular season wins will the Titans have this season? 8 or less, which is at 14%. 9 at 18.6%. 10 is leading the way, but it's coming down at 46.5%. 11 or more, 20.9%. So you can vote at 102.5 the game on Twitter. Eddie George is going to join us at 1:15. He's usually at 1, needed to push back a few minutes. So we'll talk to him in just a few here at 1:15. But this is a great, it's a fun question, you know, to kind of ask. And it started with Ask D-Mace when Spence asked if there were three former Titans you could put on this team, who would it be? Mm-hmm. You said Mac, Samari, and
myself.
And you.
Yes, truly.
Yeah. So I can't push back on that. Or if we're not including you, then B-Hop.
Yeah, then B-Hop,
as a tackle.
Mm-hmm.
So he could play the right side.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we need to help.
That's what we were just talking about. Like, if you do the all-time offensive line, you say B-Hop at left. I tend to agree with that.
Uh-huh.
Then Bruce.
And then Mawai.
Kevin Mawai.
And then Benji.
Yep.
And then now the
right I think I've decided I'd move Lawan to the right side and put Lawan on the right side.
I mean, I don't disagree with that. I said John Runyon.
Yeah, which John Runyon's
but that's just me. But, I mean, if you gave me Taylor and said he plays the right side, I'm okay, too. Yeah. I'm fine with that as well. So,
yeah. Derrick Henry would be the starting running back. No disrespect to Eddie. I think he might agree with that at this point.
We hadn't decided on defense yet.
Yeah, we just got to that.
Yeah, we'll spitball that one in a bit.
So week one of the NFL season got underway last night. The Bills defeated the Rams 31-10, ruined the Super Bowl celebration for the Rams. But Bills looked the part for sure. Some other games that I'm kind of intrigued by, and I'll see what you guys think, around the league, and we'll bring back our Around the NFL segment starting on Monday. Nick Kieser will take over this year for Elijah Campbell. I'm curious to see how the Bengals look up against Pittsburgh. Obviously, Mitch Trubisky going to be the new starter for the Pittsburgh Steelers, at least to start the season. Ben Roethlisberger retiring. The Bengals, after their run to the Super Bowl, winning the division last year, they host Pittsburgh on Sunday with a noon kick.
Very interesting game here. Because over the years, the Steelers have owned the Bengals. I mean, it's not even a discussion. And so they're trying to hang on to that some. The Bengals almost a 7-point favorite here. 6.5 is what I'm seeing. So this looks like for the Bengals to try to to defend their AFC title, this is a game where they need to hold serve at home against a big division rival. And so that's something I'm really curious about. And you've got the Mike Tomlin skeptics, right, who always say, look, they're a 500 team. They've had way too many mediocre seasons. It's time for something new. He's trying to battle that as well. But I think he's, at the end of the day, one of the more respected coaches around the league. The other thing I'm looking at is, will there be any regression in the Bengals? What was the rap on the Bengals before the playoffs started last year is, hey, they're doing a pretty nice job in some of these areas. They've got a special quarterback. They've got big-time receivers, but they have no offensive line. How much better is the offensive line for the Bengals this year than last year? They tried to address it in the offseason.
Yeah, they did. They went out and got Lyle Collins to be their right tackle, and they made some other changes within the offensive line. You look at this team, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd. Then add Hayden Hurst. I mean, these four, man, they can flat out play with Joe Mixon in the backfield, who I believe is underrated for some reason. Take the outside the field stuff away, but Joe Mixon is a really good running back. I think their problem to me, again, is going to be their defense. Obviously, the big thing last year was Hendrickson not being able to play versus the Titans. But it doesn't seem – they re-signed their safety back. Eli Apple, if he's your starter, I mean, that's terrible. Hell, he gave up the winning touchdown against the one guy you shouldn't give a touchdown up to in Cooper Kupp, and you give up a touchdown to Cooper Kupp. Like, the only guy in the building you have that shouldn't catch the touchdown caught the touchdown. So with him still at your corner, that's, to me, is your Achilles heel. So they're going to have to score points. Pittsburgh, again, I told you guys this, earlier. I trust Mike Tomlin and, what he's been able to do every season. He has not put out a team that hasn't had a winning season since he's been there, I believe. And that is a true testament of his coaching, considering who they had at quarterback. Ben Roethlisberger will be in the Hall of Fame, but last year was nowhere near a Hall of Fame player. But what happened? They still found themselves, doing well last year. Even with all the injuries that they had. So I never count Mike Tomlin out. I just don't. So, this game to me is it's a crucial game because it's a division game for Pittsburgh and Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And, if you start 1-0 in your division in a tough AFC North, I mean, that's good.
Joe Burrow MVP, let's go. One I'm really excited about, another noon kick. The Baker Mayfield revenge game. No Deshaun Watson for Cleveland. It'll be Jacoby Brissett. But they head to Carolina, and Baker Mayfield will take on his old team. And I would say put the farm on the Panthers because I think he's going to ball out.
Although the line is even. It's interesting. Yeah. The Browns, this is something that I wonder in the back of my head. Nobody's really excited to talk about the Browns because of the whole ickiness of the Deshaun Watson thing. But what a lot of people suspect is the rest of their roster is actually pretty darn good. Take away the quarterback. And Jacoby Brissett, if anything, is not a bad quarterback. He is the perfect placeholder, right? He's going to be decent. Hopefully he doesn't get you beat. He may not win the game for you. But if you look at the Browns, they can run the ball and play defense. If you do those two things, you could have a pretty good team. So what do these Browns look like? And I heard I was listening to the MMQB podcast. They had an interesting hypothetical. Like, what if the Browns were putting along at, say, 7-4, and Brissett is playing really well around the time that Deshaun – I guess you have to hope this is a story, right, that you stay relevant before Deshaun Watson comes back. But – wouldn't it be interesting if you actually had a dilemma on whether to put in Deshaun Watson? It probably won't be.
There won't be no dilemma.
Even if they're doing really well the mojo's good?
There's 230 million reasons
why it won't be a dilemma. It's so icky, the whole thing.
There's been a lot of the icky situations with NFL teams. And
This is right up there with the ickiest.
Yeah, you got a point there. But still, icky is icky.
And we're not talking about Icky Woods.
Yeah.
No Icky Shuffle.
No, I'm with you. I think Baker comes in and he plays extremely well. Again, I don't understand this dislike with Baker Mayfield. It's people claiming he's not a good he's not a really good quarterback. This kid is a really good quarterback. A really good quarterback. And just because of some of his antics, I think people dislike him. Just because he chose to want to get traded because you just signed a guy for $230 million, people dislike you. Why? He won an opportunity to play. Let him go play. Eventually, they let him go off to Carolina. But, before he got there to Cleveland, they were the bag team. Mm-hmm. Just put a bag over your head. But when he got there, he transformed that organization. He did. Say what you want to say about him.
All right, coming up next, we're going to talk to Eddie George, TSU head coach, and obviously Titans legend as well. We'll do that next, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. TSU back in action against Jackson State this week in the Southern Heritage Classic. You can hear that with pregame starting at 5:30. It'll begin on 102.1 The Ville and then shift over to 94.9 The Fan once sounds coverage is done. But we say hello to their head coach, of course, Titans legend as well. Eddie George is on the line with us. EG, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Can't complain. Just down here in Memphis, just left the luncheon, and now it's time to get ready for tomorrow and get ready to play some football.
So how did you feel? I know you didn't get the win against Eastern Washington, but your team put up a fight. I saw a lot of fight in your football team, and I know you talked about that a little bit on the Eddie George Show on Monday, but what were some of your takeaways in week one as you get ready for this week against Jackson State?
Oh, definitely. Some of the takeaways that I got from week one was, hey, you just talked about it, our resilience. You can draw up all the plans you want. You can draw up the schemes, coverages, plays, and all of that. But if your team does not have resilience and toughness, then you don't have much of a team. And that's what they showed me. You know, even when we went down by 10, we faced adversity. We found a way to get back in the game. And we came within one stop and one drive of winning that ball game against a very good football team who's been to the playoffs, I don't know, consecutive years, 11 straight years, won 10 bowls last year. All three of their losses came by 1 point or less, I mean 1 point. It was a tremendous learning experience for us. And some of my takeaways were, one, some of the guys that were starters, they on defense, they were injured. They weren't in the game. A lot of young guys came in and filled their spot. And our offense was able to put up points on the board. So, you know, I'm excited because I feel like the team has the most growth from week one to week two. And I'm thinking that, you know, if we do our job correctly, and if we execute correctly, if we are in the right place and we are sound in all that we're doing and we're coaching them to do, you know, hopefully we can make this a competitive game.
Talking with Eddie George, and, you know, one thing that stood out to me too, Eddie, is you were 2 for 2 in the red zone last week. What's kind of been your emphasis with your team this week of getting more red zone opportunities?
Not putting the ball on the ground. Turnovers, we were we're +2 right now in turnover margin, and that's not what I want to be. I made a goal that I wanted to lead our conference turnover margin. We got one fumble, but we gave away two and an interception at the end. So that's a big emphasis. And to be efficient offensively, you know, our run game and all that we're doing in our run game and knowing who we're blocking is going to be key. They present defensively a challenge to us where they're very athletic, they're long, and they rush the pass rusher. You know, that's what they want to do. And we've got to eliminate being in third and long situations. We've got to shorten the field. We've got to stay ahead of the chains. We've got to be efficient in our run game, especially on first or second down, get positive yards, and to keep that potent offense off the field.
Hey, before I pass the ball to Derek, you know, I kind of asked him, since you guys were playing in Memphis, if he wanted to wear his old Oilers jersey, you know, just to kind of throwback.
Hey, come
you know.
Yeah, wear the 85 from me. I can use Derek's toughness.
We're talking with TSU's head football coach, Eddie George. Now, Coach, last week, and you talked about guys being injured and not being able to play, but you had 22 guys that made their debut, their first debut in last week's game. How, as a coach, how do you prepare them mentally for an opportunity to play in their first ever game?
Man, that's a great question, Derek. I talk about all the time mindfulness, and for us, it's just, again, knowing the details of your job. I said, listen, we want to get you physically ready. We want to get you spiritually ready. We're going to be ready to play emotionally and all of that. where they have to take control and take ownership is the mental side of it. And that's knowing what and knowing why. And here's the thing. You know, you got 22 new guys that are playing their first game. Think about when you first played. Mm-hmm. Yes, you go through practice. You know it. But when those bullets are live, it's a completely different picture. Mm-hmm. And it's fast. And you're going to see things that you typically don't see. You're going to be undisciplined. You're going to lose. So those are the things that over time you're going to have to continue to coach and reinforce over and over and over again. But the thing is, I say, listen, you know, you're going to make mistakes, but what I ask you to do is to do it full speed, to do it with violence, and to do it with control. And we can coach you up on the other nuances as we go forward. So, again, considering who our opponent was and the guys that we had out there, I thought they did a great job of keeping us in the game.
We're talking with TSU's head football coach, Eddie George. They play this weekend against Jackson State in the Southern Heritage Classic. And unfortunately, am I right, Eddie, this will be the last one between TSU and Jackson State?
As of right now, as for the now. Foreseeable future, yes. And, you know, tomorrow it could be a different story, but as of right now, there's no comment on it. So we're not really going down that path in terms of that.
Okay. Now you had three guys, Draylen Ellis, your quarterback, Devon Starling, and Zach Dobson. All of those three guys had really good games last week. What do they need to improve on this game? And that's hard to say. I know it's hard to say because these guys balled out last game. But as you, as a former player, now a coach, you know, yep. Just because you have a good game doesn't mean you still can't improve.
Amen, Derek. Dude, I need you on my staff. as long as you let him off
10-2.
I'm trying to get him on my staff, man, Derek, because you're right. You know, there are certain plays that if we do things correctly, just in your operations, like you open up 6 inches, not 5, not 4, not 3, because that allows the running back for the quarterback, that allows the running back to come downhill to get a shoulder square. You know, having that 90 vertical step for offensive linemen. You know, the three T's we preach, having the target, tight thumbs up, tight elbows, and finishing with that. Those are the things we constantly reinforce, and that made a difference in the game. So there were times where we left plays on the field because we were not doing and not focusing on the small things. And my thing was, doing your job is just not executing a play, but doing it correctly. Doing it with perfect precision. Those are the teams like the New England Patriots, our teams and the Titans, the Ravens, the Dynasty. They on the small details and work it to a T. They don't cut corners. Nothing is compromised, and that's the point of emphasis. I don't care if he threw for 300 yards or 417. We didn't get the win, and here is why. So, if we want to be an elite team, that's what we have to do. As of right now, we have a 5-5 mentality, okay, and that has to shift. So that's what I've been focusing on all week. Just do your job, understand what you're doing, and do it correctly.
Talking to Eddie George as they get ready for Jackson State. So, Eddie, give us your view of the Jackson State program. It's certainly making a splash with Deion leading it up. His son looked really good against Florida A&M, just very efficient. They overwhelmed the Rattlers there. So just when you look at Jackson State, give me your profile of what he's doing there and how you guys are going to try to stack up.
Well, Deion's done a phenomenal job, one, of recruiting. He's got the right players in for the system that he wants to run on both sides of the football. They've improved their roster from last year, and they were in the SWAC championship last year. So when I look at them now, the guy that makes it go, the heart and soul of their team, is Shador Sanders. He's so efficient from the pocket. He has he is very methodical and surgical when you give him time. If you don't mix up your coverages and blitzes, he will pick you apart. So it's going to be for us to disguise perfectly, knowing what we have, knowing who we have. You can't bust coverage because he will find that mistake. He will find the holes in your defense. defensively speaking, and I mentioned this earlier, they're longer, they're faster on both sides of the football, the defensive line in the secondary. And they pride on turnovers and putting you in third and long situations where they can pin back their ears and go hunt. So all of that, you know, being said, it's not hype. They're the real deal. They're the ranked number 15th team in the country in FCS, number one among the HBCUs, and it's going to take a valiant effort on our behalf to do things correctly to have a chance in the fourth quarter to win a ball game.
Eddie, I got one running back question for you. Derrick Henry at the podium yesterday was talking about how he chose to put on a little more weight. Now, he's a big, strong guy to begin with, so I'm sure that was a calculated move by him. How did you try to determine, I need to put on a few pounds, I need to take off a couple of pounds based on where you were in your career? What goes into that decision?
Well, first of all, he said he wanted to put on more weight. So what is he now, 270? He's at 250. And, you know, running, what, a 4.4, 4.5? I mean, golly, you know, he wants to obliterate guys. I mean, but to answer your question, I think that in terms of his career, he knows his body. I think now, you know, given the situation where some of his key weapons are missing, on the outside, A.J. Brown, you have some unproven receivers that have to show that they can stretch the field and get guys out the box. He's probably had, you know, the mindset, hey, I'm just going to be hard and heavy in between the trenches, so I need to put on some more weight so I can lean on the lead defenses a little bit more. So I understand that thought process. They're going to be looking more toward, you know, 12 personnel, more toward 13 force personnel, probably with the tight ends. And there's going to be a different-looking team earlier on in the season. And they mature throughout the season to where that chemistry between Tannehill and the other receivers are in sync to where it gets guys out of the box. So I understand that thought process.
Eddie, best of luck this weekend in Memphis against Jackson State. I know it's going to be a lot of fun, and we look forward to talking to you Monday night at 6 and Peabody for the Eddie George Show at 6 o'clock.
All right. Hey, take care, Derek. Talk to you soon. Hey, Derek, also, I see a couple of your friends down here. They say hello.
Well, tell them I said what's going on down in Memphis.
Oh, yes, down in Memphis. Yes, you got that laugh, yes. They missed their Mason.
No.
Oh, boy.
They missed their teammates.
Oh, man.
I'll talk Memphis to you later on, man.
All right, Coach.
See you, Eddie. Thank you.
Boy, Eddie, the audience left to speculate.
Right. Exactly. Y'all can only speculate.
Can only imagine.
Y'all don't know what he's talking about.
TSU head coach,
I like
Eddie
how
George.
He gives the devilish grin, too. Yeah.
I can hear it. I can hear it through the phone, that grin that he had going on. The Eddie George Show, Monday night at 6, live from 6 and Peabody. You can hear that with Jonathan Hutton right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Coming up next, your chance to win pilgrimage tickets. In our trivia question, we'll also hear a little bit of Mike Vrabel as well. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Thank you, Pekka. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. The Nashville Fair returns to the Nashville Fairgrounds, and this Sunday, 102.5 and 106.3, The Game will be there from 2 to 4. Our own Nick Kieser will be there. Midway rides, agriculture, arts, livestock competitions, fair food, including hot chicken on a stick, and deep-fried Goo Goo clusters, and more. Nick, we expect a full report about those. Buy tickets early and save at nashfair.fun. We'll see you there. It is trivia time. Time for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the Pilgrimage Festival, which is coming up, of course, September 24th through the 25th. But, Willie, you have the question. You'll answer these off air. Give it to the people.
All right. Max Kellerman came on our show today. He gave a strong opinion this morning about what we're going to see from Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley, two high-profile running backs in week one. And, of course, there's what's going to happen on Sunday and then what's going to happen over the course of the season. Derrick Henry, as D-Mace pointed out, he could have 100 and some odd yards and then sort of change the narrative, which is, hey, what are we going to get from Derrick Henry? He's had a lot of, He's had the big injury last year. He's had a lot of carries over the season. The narrative can change with one good performance. Opening day, though, has not been a great productive day for Derrick Henry over the course of his career. This is his seventh opening game. Coming up on Sunday, he only has one previous 100-yard game. Can you tell me the opponent that he reached over 100 yards against on opening week? 615-737-1025. Must call to get the answer. Cannot text the answer in to win the prize. You can text the answer in, and you might be right, but you can't win the prize.
But you won't win.
You won't win the prize.
People, call.
615-737-1025 for tickets to the Pilgrimage Festival. The opponent for Derrick Henry, the only time he's gone over 100 yards rushing on opening week.
Good question.
I like that question. Mm-hmm. It's a good one. Coming up, I'll give you my three tailor-made picks.
Oh, that's exciting.
Don't know if we want to review last week or not.
It was we can.
We're going to skip last week.
That was practice.
Yeah, that was practice. week zero.
I thought you might rename the segment. I thought you tailor-made picks, you went 0-3. But now this coming week, it's called something completely different.
I was going to rename it, but I can't say that on the air. So that's kind of the problem. I know Nick is fielding calls, but if we can, let's hear from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel. Maybe. He's got a lot going on back there.
I guess how much you feel like this team is ready to go after all?
Well, I mean, I think you hope that we're ready. You know, these guys are ready. They're over there working, backing stuff up. It's just, it's week one. And, it's our first Friday, trying to work through things and make sure that we're giving them everything that we can give them to be prepared. Nobody knows. Nobody really knows for sure. And you think you have an idea, but. But there'll be plenty of things that we see or come up in the game that, we just weren't able to show them.
Mike, what has Amani done since he arrived to earn this second contract with you guys?
I mean, he's a dependable player, and somebody that's taken advantage of his opportunities, gone in there, been productive and, versatile. Like the way that he practices and prepares and his daily approach.
How much did it last year when he came back from the injury, how much did that help to gel the back end of that defense, because it sure seemed like that things got a lot smoother back there with him and Kevin working together?
Well, I mean, I'm happy for Amani. I really am. It's an amazing opportunity to be able to do that, and I'm glad that we're going to be able to keep him. My focus right now is on the Giants, so I've congratulated him as many times as I can congratulate him, and he knows that. And we made a commitment to him, and his focus and our focus is on the Giants.
Remember about Coach Daboll as a young coach in New England when you were there as a player?
Yeah, I'm just very knowledgeable. A guy that could coach a lot of different positions from early on. My favorite story of Daboll was him and Rob Ryan, and Josh McDaniels would be the quarterback. And it was cold. It was late in the season, and they always do red zone one-on-ones on Friday. So we'd be stretching on one side of the field, and they would be off on the red zone, and Josh would be the quarterback, and Rob and Daboll would take turns running routes against each other. And watching these two in parkas in about 30 degrees and Josh playing quarterback, it would make us laugh every Friday. So I don't think that we'll see that on Sunday, but, I can remember to this day.
With so many rookies, set to be a starter for you, do you find yourself having to tell them to kind of contain themselves and not get too excited and shoot their gun pregame so that way they're
right? I hope we're all excited. I'm excited, and I'm sure that they are. But there's a level of composure that I think you have to have, and we'll have to save some for, the course. We don't want to leave it all at the driving range and make sure that there's a little left for the course. So we've talked to them a little bit about it.
McQuarrie has the pregame, the night before the game ritual where he eats the baked beans with
He's
sugar.
Eating baked beans every day, I think, as long as Lauren puts them there. If Lauren puts them in the cafeteria, he eats them.
Anybody can rule out?
Jamarco Jones, Lonnie Johnson, Molden, and Chance Campbell. Hard-hitting stuff.
There you go. Mike Vrabel, and Eric is our trivia winner. Mike Vrabel giving the injury report there that those guys are out, so... again, he said Elijah Molden, Lonnie Johnson, Jamarco Jones, Chance Campbell will not play. Surprised nobody asked about Josh Gordon. If Josh Gordon was in, if he felt Josh Gordon, I don't know if he'd answer it, but I'm surprised it wasn't
I think it should have been asked. I agree with you. I don't think he would have tipped his hand on that. I think he's going to try to keep that under wraps until Sunday afternoon when the inactives come out there.
I tell you one thing. He doesn't like distractions.
No.
He hates distractions. Every time they're doing something while he's doing an interview, he always mentions it.
I'll say this, though. That is probably the best story I've ever heard him tell about his playing career, because he usually doesn't like to talk about his playing career at all. Mm-hmm. But him talking about Daboll, and it was a funny story.
That was good.
Like that was, I was like, wow, okay. So Mike in a good mood today. You could definitely tell. But again, the thing that really stands out is no Elijah Molden, Lonnie Johnson, Jamarco Jones, or Chance Campbell for the Titans. The answer to the question?
Yep. Congratulations to Eric. The only time in his career that Derrick Henry rushed for over 100 yards to this point in his career in week one was 2 years ago against the Denver Broncos. The Broncos, the night game. And he had 31 carries for 116 yards. The Titans eked out the game late. Remember, they had Rob Gronkowski kick the game-winning field goal. It was a very, very hairy game in that, and they leaned heavily on Derrick Henry. 31 carries, 116 yards. His very first opening game, his first game of his career, Minnesota Vikings, 5 carries for 3 yards, playing behind DeMarco Murray. He did catch a long screen pass in that game, but only 6 carries on opening day against the Oakland Raiders in 2017. 10 carries, 26 yards against Miami in 2018. That was Mike Vrabel's first game as the head coach. In Cleveland, 19 carries for 84 yards, plus a long screen pass that he turned into a touchdown. Mm-hmm. So a very good game in that one. 31 for 116 against Denver. And then last year, Arizona, they got behind. If you remember, 17 carries, 58 yards. But they were so far behind, he really didn't get to do much, especially in the second half of that game. So what does this Sunday have in store? We'll see.
We will find out. Coming up next, I'll give you my tailor-made picks of the week, and hopefully they're better than last week, plus our best shots. That's all next on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, putting a bow on this Friday. Stillman & Company coming up at the top of the hour, though, as they will get you set for week one against the New York Giants for the Tennessee Titans and how the Titans can get that victory. So be sure to tune in starting at 2. But now we got to move fast and furious. Time for my tailor-made picks.
Willie,
you kept up with them last week.
Oh, yes.
I can tell you.
I both have the hot and heavy numbers here. And
I went 0 for 3.
I call them your dumpster fire picks.
Yeah. They were not good.
LSU minus 3.
Nope.
Against Florida State, wild, wacky, but a loss. Georgia,
close.
Oregon, over 54.
Missed it by 3.
Came up short. Georgia won 49-3, so the Ducks just didn't score. All they did is score 1. You'd have been all right. And then, of course, your stone-cold lock. You had Utah minus 3 at Florida. Utah was 1 play away from covering for you because they had a chance to score a touchdown to win late in the swamp. It got picked off. So 0-3 for Chase.
I was close, but that only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades.
That's right. That's right.
That's what that was. So this week, just going to be in the NFL. I have 3 NFL picks for this week. And so I will start it out with a battle of number 1 and number 2 draft picks from 2015. Mm-hmm. Of course, former Titans quarterback Marcus Mariota. Former Bucks quarterback Jameis Winston, now with the Falcons and Saints respectfully. This one in Atlanta in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I like the Rams. I like the Saints on the road, minus 5.5. I will lay the 5.5. Give me New Orleans.
Saints minus 5.5 at Atlanta.
Yeah, at Atlanta.
The Falcons, okay.
All right, next. This one in Miami, Hard Rock Stadium in an AFC East matchup between the New England Patriots and the Miami Dolphins. A lot of pressure on the Dolphins this year, and Tua Tagovailoa, their quarterback, and whether he can actually make it in the NFL. I don't think it's going to be a good start for them, though. I will take the 3.5 points for New England. Give me the 3.5.
Plus 3.5, yep. Patriots?
Yes.
Against the Dolphins. Very important game.
Road dogs for the Patriots.
All right.
And finally, I'm very intrigued by this one.
Would this be the Stone Cold Lock?
This is the Stone Cold Lock. The Stone Cold Lock.
And this is endorsed by Ricky?
Okay. Carson Wentz will make his debut for the Washington Commanders. The Washington Commanders will make their debut for the Washington Commanders.
Yes.
They are no longer the football team. They are officially
they got a nickname.
The Commanders, hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars. Doug Peterson making his debut as the head coach for the Jags. The Jags getting 2.5 on the road. Give me those 2.5 points. It is a lock. The Jags, and I believe they win outright.
Jags plus 2.5 at Commanders.
Yes.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
Those are my three picks.
So we have the Saints minus 5.5 at the Falcons, the Patriots plus 3.5 at Dolphins, Jags plus 2.5 at Washington.
Yes. So there you go. That leads us to our best shots of the week. 615-737-1025. I thought I was going to sneeze there for a second.
Bless you if you do.
Yeah, no, I think it's good. You know, usually I get disappointed if I feel one a sneeze coming
and it doesn't come.
But in that case, since I was mid-sentence, I'm kind of glad I didn't.
Okay.
Wow. I have heard Magnum PI's theme on this radio station 30 times in the last week.
We got to shake it up a little bit.
Got to get some more themes.
There's a whole page for TV themes. There's three of them.
I also watched The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Okay. There's more.
I watched George Lopez, too.
There are more good television show themes, all right?
Out of thin air, George Lopez.
Nothing wrong with George. I like George.
George was funny now.
Nick and I just got to expand the library a little bit.
Yeah.
That's okay.
So, again, when there's a remote in here, shows, even our show, leave the damn remote on the table. Stop moving stuff. Okay? Yes, I am that older guy saying leave stuff alone.
There's like five remotes.
Exactly. If this was my pops or somebody else, they would have used some other choice words in regards to the remotes. I'm just going to say, once we find this remote, because this remote doesn't work on all other televisions. It only works to the television to my left.
Yeah.
Okay? Everybody's left. It works well. It's underneath Chase, but everybody else is left, Willie and I. Remotes in here, leave them alone.
We have discovered that there are actually two remotes of the same kind in the building, so we did discover that. But
we've uncovered another.
We have uncovered
faux pas.
This is big.
That you can't do.
No.
So explain.
It was in, I believe the remote from this studio was in our sister station, 1029 The Buzz, their studio, but it was missing batteries. So it was clearly stolen for the batteries. The carcass of the remote was left behind.
He was on stage for about an hour and a half. In a whole hour and a half, it was screaming, just screaming. And now I'm paying for it right now. But the concert is a really good concert. Really good concert.
Yeah, I'm used to that. Women scream at me all the time. Scream, friend zone! That's what they scream.
So, I am a little impaired, just a tad bit.
Last week, as the commissioner, I felt like the pilot of the airplane that, you know, trying to get the wings up and you almost hit the power lines on the way out. But we got up in the air, we got flying, we got airborne, and now we're smooth sailing for the rest of the way.
I do not want you to be my pilot, buddy.
Wow. It took a while to get the train rolling a little bit, but we've got it going. The Bears.
Can I leave my quesadillas to arrive?
Yes.
Yes, you could.
You have people to see.
George, we're sorry for interrupting your life.
George, enjoy. Thank you for playing.
No, thank you for being who you are. Kelly, do better. Whatever, George. I mean, get a life, Hawk. How about it? See ya.
How much do you think about that playoff game? You know, because every time it's talked about, it's Man, if CJ hadn't have got hurt, man, that was the year the Titans.
You're losing that game, Derek. If he doesn't get hurt,
hey, listen, I'm not. We won, so you can Chase. You can go back and
I'm with Chris.
Litigate it. You can go back and litigate it all.
There you go. Our best shots of the week. Well done by Nick Kieser. As we put a bow on things, our question of the day real quick. How many regular season wins for the will the Titans have this year? 47% of you say 10, 13.3 with 8 or less, 18.8 with 9, 21% 11 or more. You can continue to vote for about 7 more minutes in our poll question.
The votes are in. Only one chance to get it in there before the season starts. You got to have the votes in. But that was good. Good participation. Great ass D-Mace. Mets in Miami tonight. Mm-hmm. Atlanta in Seattle.
It's going to be
big. Race continues. Rule changes coming to Major League Baseball next year to speed up the game.
Next week.
Might talk about it because the Sounds have been doing it all season long. And by the way, good luck to the Sounds as they try to finish off a championship.
Coming up next, the Stillman and Company will get you ready. Titans taking on the Giants on Sunday. Jared gives his thoughts on the only way the Titans can lose the game. That is all coming up next. 102.5, 106.3, the game.
We out.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.